In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's meditation is based on the second reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, send us your Holy Spirit this day as we hear your word to strengthen our faith in your dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. The start is important and the end is important. Whether that's the start of life and the end of life, or a stage within life, a job, a task, a book or a story, the start of a movie can really capture your attention or not, and the final scenes of a movie can beautifully bring it all together. Or not. The start of a pandemic is significant, and hopefully in the not too distant future, the end of a pandemic will be too. These moments matter. They're often not easy, they're often not straightforward, they can be unsettling, but they do matter. We could add to that list the start of a vicarage, and by this time next week, the end of a vicarage as well, as this is Vicar Joseph's second to last week with us and the last time I will preach with him present, but I'll try to hold it together. His vicarage will certainly end in a way that we could not have foreseen from the start, but both are important. Both are significant in their own way. Today's readings focus on starts and ends, beginnings and conclusions. We hear about the start of the world from Genesis 1, the Creator's own account of how it all began. We hear about our origin, our beginning. We hear about the Father who made us, the Spirit who hovered over the waters, and the spoken Word who later became flesh and dwelt among us. We hear about the triune God, present at creation, and how very good it was when he dwelt together with his people in harmony at the start. We also heard Psalm 8, a meditation on the wonders of creation. Interestingly, it starts and ends in the same way. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We heard from the final verses of Matthew's Gospel, some of Jesus' last words to his apostles as he sent them into the world to make disciples, baptizing and teaching, and surely he'd be with them always to the very end of the age. Well-known words. The last words in Matthew, the first words in our baptism rite, and therefore the words that initiated many of us into our life of faith and our Christian walk. And last but not least, today we heard Paul's closing remarks to the Corinthians in what was his second and final letter. And these are the verses I really want to focus on today. Friends, these are not just Paul's last thoughts, kind of like a postscript that he sent to the Corinthians, but they are the culmination and conclusion of everything else he'd written to them. So they carry special weight, special significance, both then and now. These words speak to us of the triune God and each member of the triune God, which is why we hear them on Trinity Sunday. Our understanding of God as three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not some strange and obscure early church development, but it's the consistent witness of Scripture from the start to the end about who God is and how God operates. Paul unpacks that nature and work today of God through a powerful plea and a beautiful benediction. And I just want to share a little bit on both. Firstly, the powerful plea. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell, he writes, or rejoice. Put things in order Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Now, it's very common for Paul to finish one of his letters with this series of punchy statements at the end that kind of bring it all together, drive home his points. I imagine it a bit like a person who's driving out of their driveway and they've got the window down and they're just yelling a few final things before they go. Remember, lock the back door, turn the iron off, and I love you and I'll be home at 7. The final points. The takeaway messages. Very helpful for those of us who aren't good on details. So what has Paul been saying in the middle of his letter that he's now summarizing? Well, he's been trying to heal some of the rifts and the tensions that are there at Corinth. He's also been defending his role as an apostle and the authority he has to speak to them. And he's been trying to convince the people there that the things they're arguing over, they shouldn't be arguing over, and encouraging them to be of one mind for the sake of their souls and the well-being of the Christian community and their Christian witness, that they should put these things to bed. He wants them to agree. He wants them to be reconciled to God and to him and to one another through Christ, and of course with the help of the Holy Spirit. He calls them brothers and sisters. It's a term of endearment. He's saying, friends, I harbor no grudges. I have no ill feeling towards you. I simply plead with you. I appeal to you to be the people you've been called and created to be. He wants them to stop their infighting, to stop thinking only of themselves, to stop taking sides, and to simply live in peace. Some of you would have been following the events going on in the USA in recent days since the death of George Floyd. This is a really tragic series of events. And it's a series of events that show us, among other things, the snowball effect of sin. From alleged theft to racism to the abuse of power to murder to anger to riots to destruction, and on it goes. And where does it end? Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, says, look, enough is enough. You Christians, end it. End your disagreements before they get out of hand. You Christians, do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. It's a plea. It's an appeal. Put things in order, he says. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. It's a powerful plea that's supported by an equally powerful promise that the God of love and peace will be with us. That we have a God whose heart is full of love and who deeply desires peace and works for it with every fiber of his being. And so too should we. Friends, this is why Christ came. This is why he endured the cross, was to make peace between God and us. The cross was God's way of saying, enough is enough. It is finished. There will be peace, even if it must be at my expense. This is Paul's plea, his final appeal to the people of Corinth. Now, if I was making a final plea or appeal to Vicar Joseph today, I might say something like, Vicar Joseph, live in peace. Live by grace. Proclaim the grace of God. Keep on singing. Keep holding firm to the word of God and the salvation you have in Jesus Christ your Lord. Or something to that effect. When I finished my vicarage, a dear parishioner said to me, Vicar Ben, you have many gifts. And I thought, I like where this is going. And then she went on to say, but you know what? Singing is not one of them. Vicar Joseph, you have many gifts and singing is one of them. So use it to the glory of God and the good of his people. And remember, it's okay to be humbled occasionally as well. finally, we come to Paul's last words. After telling the people here in Corinth to greet one another with a holy kiss, something like our hug, equivalent to our handshake, neither of which we're supposed to be doing at the moment, Paul writes, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Now, it's one of the most Trinitarian verses and beautiful blessings in all of Scripture. The grace of Jesus, His undeserved favor, that even though our hearts and minds and relationships are beset with conflicts and contradictions, yet through His suffering and death, we can know a peace that surpasses all understanding. The love of God. This is the very nature of God by which He does this for us. It's not just an attitude. It's not a fleeting feeling. It's not an emotion. It is a powerful, decisive mode of being by which God chooses to act and gives of Himself and creates and recreates us until, by His grace, we are the finished product one day that He always intended us to be. And the communion or fellowship or sharing of the Holy Spirit, it's about having something very deep in common with one another. As Christians, we share in one another's joys and sorrows. We share in the sufferings and glories of Christ, and we share in the holy things of God. Soon, so soon, I am sure we will once again share in His body and blood as well. And until then, we share in patient and eager longing for that gift. Paul concludes his letter, 2 Corinthians, by pointing the people to their Maker and Redeemer, their source and security, their lawgiver and forgiver, their grace, their love and fellowship, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the answer to their deepest difficulties and divisions. Vic Fitzner writes, "This apostolic benediction is both a prayer and a promise, uttered by one who, after speaking strong and sometimes harsh words, cannot hide the fact that his pastoral heart is always beating with loving concern. The gospel must always have the last word." And so the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.